Stand if you're able. I'm going to shake things up a little bit here. Our lectionary, our readings on the back of the bulletin. This is the New Revised Standard Version. I'm going to read out of the NIV, the New International Version today, just for the fun of it, because it's summertime, and we're going to read from Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. And then we're going to go to verse 18 to 23, Matthew chapter 13. So all who are listening to our worship service on the radio, let me take a moment to welcome you. And this is the New International Version, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 9, and then verse 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. The one who has ears, let him hear. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every one of us here this morning. I pray, Lord, that your holy word would take root in our life so that each one of us, and especially our church as a whole, might bear an abundance of good fruit to the glory of your holy name. And I pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome to everybody here. What a beautiful, beautiful day. I hope you're having a great summer. And I would just like to start with a story about a dear soul, dear friend, Erling Husvik. I know you remember Erling. God rest his soul. Erling, I used to visit him all the time before he passed away. Erling was he was a World War II hero. The man was amazing. And I went and visited Erling, and I was like, Erling, I love those raspberry bushes in the front of your house. I've got to know the secret. And he goes, that's nothing. And he took me to the backyard, well, to the side of the house. And he started pulling up all these carrots in his garden. And he knocked off the, he goes, take those back to Ying. I was like, wow, you have got a newfound friend. So I took him back to Ying, and she started talking to me about a garden. We need a garden. Why don't we have a garden, Mike? And I'm like, ay, 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 ay. I don't have a green thumb. I don't have any. I mean, I'm serious. I'm really bad. So I went back to Erling the other week. Next week, I said, Erling, I need some help. Now Ying wants a garden. Thank you. And we got the wood and we got all that stuff. And he goes, the key to a good garden is the soil. And he goes, you need sand for this soil around here. I said, so I go to Sandy Beach? And he goes, no, you got to go to the sand pit. I said, well, where's the sand pit? And he goes, I'll take you. And, you know, Erling was up there and he's getting older. And I was like, all right, so following week I have about 8 5-gallon buckets in the back of the car. And all we had was that Toyota RAV4. I had no idea. I've never been to the sand pit. We drive way out the road. You know the sand. You all know where the sand pit is. If you're not from here, you got to go out to the 10-mile mark just to start up the road. Anyway, we got to the road. We got finally to the sand pit. I parked up on top, saw a bunch of sand, right? I didn't want to get stuck. And so I start hauling all these 5-gallon buckets down. I flip one over. I say, Erling, you just sit right there and you supervise me and I'll fill them all up. Well, Erling was a World War II hero, right? He's not just going to sit around. I fill up the buckets, and he starts picking one up. And he's hauling it up. I'm like, Early, no, 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 no. And I'm thinking, please, I can't have a heart attack here. Hey, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. So, he would not listen to me. He hauled, and I'm serious, he brought his own bucket. And it was a bucket with a string because the handle busted off. It was a string, so I knew that hurt his hand. And see, Erling is from, like, my mom and dad's generation. You know the greatest generation? My mom and dad taught me a penny saved is a penny. Right. I bet you our kids wouldn't pass that test. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they would. A penny saved is a penny earned. And Erling hauled that bucket up to the car, and we still got, you know, six more. And I'm going, oh, this isn't working. I know it. So I decided to back the car up all the way down into the pit, you know, risking getting stuck, and then I'm in a bigger bind. But I was like, Lord, I need some help. So I backed it all the way down right next to the 5-gallon buckets that we've already filled up. So then it wouldn't be so hard. And so I'm praying, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, please let us get out of here. I was calling out all stops, and we got out. Thank you, Lord. We got out. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. The key to a good garden is the soil. And that's the message Christ is teaching us today in our parable. The parable is a beautiful story. Jesus tells story. The parable is meant to be a teaching of comparisons. You lie two truths side by side, and you pull out the meaning. And Jesus often did this, the master storyteller. He would take stuff that you and I understand in order to reveal to us things we don't understand. So he's there at the Sea of Galilee, and you can go there today, and I've been blessed to be there twice. And you go to Capernaum in the north, the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is, they have a big church built over the top of Peter's house, where Peter lived, and that was his house. And right next to that is the synagogue, where Jesus performed many miracles. And then not far is the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus left the house, today, Matthew chapter 13, this is a turning point in Matthew's gospel. He leaves the house, symbolizing Israel, and he goes to the sea, which symbolizes the Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the Jewish faith determined that the power Jesus was exercising, all of his great miracles, didn't come from God, like he said. They came from the evil one, Satan. That's what the die was cast. They have already hardened their hearts on Christ, and they decided he must die. And then Jesus then starts using parables, and the whole rest of Matthew's gospel is pointed towards Jerusalem to the cross. And Jesus knows this. So he tells this great story about, and he sees, no doubt he's at the Sea of Galilee, big old crowd right there, and he sees somebody up on the hill sowing seeds, a farmer. And he goes, hey, you guys, let me just tell you a story. You see that guy up there? That sower? The kingdom of God is like that. The word of God is sown. And so we see four things. There are four responses to the invitation that we read just last week. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said in verse 25, come to me, all you who are weary, and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. The word rest means salvation. Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened with the anxieties of life, burdened by guilt and shame and resentment and bitterness of the past. Come to me, all. It was an invitation Christ issues to all of us, to all people all over the world. Come to Christ. Only in Christ is found our salvation. For my yoke is easy, he says, and my burden is light. That was last Sunday. So today we see four responses to the invitation given. There are four responses to the invitation of Christ. Three of the four don't respond positively. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The soil is your heart and my heart. That's the deal. There are four responses. There's the heart that's hardened, the soil that's too hard, that's the heart that's hardened. The heart that defeated, that is defeated, that's the rocky soil. The heart that is distracted, that's the soil that the seed that grows up in the weeds choke it off. And then there's finally the good soil. The good soil. The soil that produces 100 and 60, 30-fold of fruit. The key is the soil, my friends. The evidence is the fruit. The key of God's Word taking deep roots in our heart is the soil of your heart. So how is your heart today? How is your heart? What's your heart looking like? And the evidence is the fruit. The fruit of your life is the evidence of how the soil is going in your life. First of all, we have the hard heart, the hardened heart. That's probably the most common of all is the heart that's hardened. And we live in a world, I mean, it's easy to get cynical. Come on. I mean, you just watch the news. Guess who's fighting again? Israel and Palestine. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. And it all started with teenagers getting kidnapped and killed, and then another teenager killed. And, well, let's just kill the kids. Let's just do that. And you're like, oh, they've been fighting since Solomon. Before that, it's just so easy to get cynical. You can see how easy it is to have a hard heart towards world affairs. And then look at our southern border. I was listening to a Democratic congressional leader from Texas who said we have a humanitarian crisis at our border right now with all the youth coming up, the kids from Guatemala and El Salvador, Central America. It's so easy to be cynical. What's the solution? Well, Christ is trying to give us a solution in today's gospel. It's so easy for us to get cynical in the world that we live in. And with youth, working with youth, I tell you, that's one of the reasons I love working with young people, because I remember when I was a youth and how easy it was to get cynical with life and just say, oh, what difference does it make? Might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. And Christ is saying we've got to guard against the hardness of heart, because the seed that's fallen on the hard heart, the evil one comes and pulls it out and takes it away. Now, remember, Harry Wendt, the good Lutheran pastor who wrote the Crossways Bible study that's translated in 40 different languages. I just talked to Harry not long ago, Harry Wendt, and this is what he said. His definition of Satan is this: the satanic, or the Satan, is every evil spirit, institution, power, or presence that would sidetrack us from living to serve God and others into serving ourselves. So that we've got to guard against that evil of just looking into myself. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. Now, the seed of God's Word is the same. The seed is the same in the whole parable. The seed is God's Word. It's the same for all of us. How you and I receive that seed is what's different. And there are four different responses. And the first one is that hardened, cynical, sarcastic heart. And I have to say, we have to be careful of that. As a pastor, I've got to be careful of that. I've been very blessed to be ordained in ministry. It was in 1994 I was first ordained a deacon. That's 20 years, man. I'm getting old. But seriously, people come in and you hear every excuse under the sun. One is, my grandma's Lutheran, and you got to help me. Okay, what do you need? I need a $279 airplane ticket. Oh, really? Where are you going? And when you get it, it's like, well, I just got called, and I don't know if you saw the article in the newspaper. We're trying to help the homeless situation, the transient situation in this town in Petersburg, and our church has taken a leadership position on that, and I'm grateful for that. We get calls from the police department. We get calls from the medical center. We get calls from the public health nurse. We've been getting calls. We got a call from the ferry terminal. We got somebody who needs help, and hallelujah, I'm grateful that they call for help. We want to be there, And we are, and we do, and we try to help every person. That's why I like to see people eyeball to eyeball. But it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to get hardened in our heart. When that happens, I pray, Lord, give me a tender heart. Help me to see, Lord, with your eyes, not with my eyes. The gospel will not take root in the atmosphere of the heart that's cynical and sarcastic and just says, hey, look, you got up here, you get home yourself. Deal with it. I really got to guard against that. And it always seems I get the calls on my day off, right? You know, it's most inconvenient. I got one last year that took the cake. Are you the Lutheran pastor? Yes, I am. Of course, it's my day off. Yes, I am. I need a place to stay, and I need my prescription filled. Oh, really? What prescription? Oxycodone. Oh, you want us to fill? Well, we're not a pharmacy, and we're not a hotel. What do you want me to do? That's what I felt like saying. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, what can we do? So we meet as a ministerial association once a month, and I oftentimes invite people, like from the mental health, to come and help us. What do we do when somebody wants a prescription? What do you guys do? Well, there's help available, and there's ways to help, but we have to guard against the hard heart. I don't want the evil one to take the seed of God's love and God's word and to cast it out, because I've just become cold and callous in my heart because of experience of life. And so we need to guard against that. The second heart is the seed that falls on rocky soil. The seed that falls on rocky soil, and I call that the defeated heart, the rocky soil. Since there's no depth in the soil sprouts out with joy at first, but then it withers away under the heat of the sun. And I really can relate to this, because when I was 17, I remember my mom and dad sent me on a retreat. It was a Teens Encounter Christ retreat. I absolutely loved it. Just pumped up for the Lord. Came back after a three-year retreat on fire for Christ. Went to my Catholic high school, and I told all my baseball friends, you got to go to one of these retreats. They thought I was crazy. I pretty much held out till I got to college on a baseball scholarship. And Mike, we're having a party. No, I don't want to go to a party. I was, 19, 18. And they're like, I said, why not? I said, well, I'm Catholic. Well, that's okay, so am I. Let's go. I'll buy the beer. It's like, what? My roots weren't deep. My roots in religion was really deep, but my roots in Christ Jesus wasn't all that deep. And in our second reading, Romans chapter 8, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ will set you free from the law of sin and death. And that's the beautiful thing that happens when you and I are nothing wrong with religion. It's a means to the end, and the end is a relationship with Christ Jesus, who came to conquer sin, death, and the devil. And so you and I have victory. I don't have to be defeated in my Christian walk anymore. I don't have to worry about what other people think of me if I say, no, you know what? I don't want to party. I don't want to laugh at that joke. I don't have to cuss. That's not me. That was the old me. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. That's how it works. And I share with married couples during marriage preparation, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I really love this verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. From it, your heart issues forth the abundance of life. Guard your heart. So that's really what our gospel is about today. We got to guard against the hard, callous heart. We also have to guard against the life, the seed that falls on rocky soil. I don't want to be just a flash in the pan with my Christian faith. The evidence is the fruit. The evidence is the fruit of my life. The fruit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But what fruit do you bear in your life? What fruit do other people see in your life? And again, on Saturday, this coming Saturday, I'm excited about going to Juneau for our middle school camp. We are taking 15 youth, middle school youth. Praise the Lord. I know. I'm so pumped. And you know what? Since I started here a little over 6 years ago, every year we take a couple extra. We take more. And do you know what? I don't know if we, Petersburg Lutheran Church, are leading the cluster, the Southeast cluster. We really are a church that people look to because of your faithfulness, because of the seeds that you sow in the soil of of this town. Thank you for your faithfulness, for sowing your time, your talent, and your treasure. Thank you. I really can't thank you enough. There are people that, and I see it all the time, people stop in the office, look, I heard you need a scholarship for camp. Here's a check for $125. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Here's a check for $25. Here's a check for $50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're getting kids to a place where we have an environment, and I don't, you know me, I don't stop telling the kids, God loves you, God knows you, and God has a plan for you in your life. And I tell them that, and Sue Belita rolls her eyes, Pastor Sue Belita. She's like, oh, come on. No, kids need to hear that. Young people, I needed to hear that, that God loves you, God knows you, God has a plan for you in your life, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You see, and the third heart is the heart that falls on in the weeds. You see, the soil is okay, it's just there's too many weeds, and the seed of God's word takes root, but once it sprouts, it gets choked off by the cares, and that's why I love this translation. The disillusionment of wealth, the cares and the disillusionment of wealth in Matthew chapter 13. I just want to get that right. Verse 22, Matthew 13. The one who receives the seed that fell among thorns is the one who hears the word, the worries of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth. Choke it off. Nothing wrong with wealth, my friends. Nothing wrong. It's okay to own possessions as long as our possessions don't own us. The deceitfulness of wealth is such that if I just have more wealth, I'll be happy. I'll be secure. When our security comes in God through Christ, alone, my security comes in God. Because we all know we could have the largest nest egg ever, and then I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, Mike, you see that spot on your lung? Really? Monsignor Jamie Miller, perfect example. Catholic priest, greatest guy, greatest priest I ever met. One of the greatest Christians besides my mom. James Miller, Monsignor Jamie Miller. He was a priest. I mean, he was just such a kind man. He had in his rectory a plaque that I'll never forget. There's a little good in the worst of us. There's a little bad in the best of us, and that behooves the rest of us not to judge any of us. I really like that. He was an Irish man. He used to run 4 miles a day until he was 74 years old. So he had a stomach problem. He thought it was indigestion. He goes to the doctor in Haines, and he said, I think he ought to go to Juneau. Goes to Juneau. The doctor saw he had cancer of the bowels, and he had 6 months to live. And it was like that. And he traveled all over Southeast saying goodbye to all the communities. He went back to St. Paul, Minnesota. 6 months later, he died. But thank God he had 6 months to say. But it was out of the blue, out of the blue. We must not be deceived. Our wealth, there's nothing wrong with it. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's not meant to take the place of God. Oh, our security comes from God alone. Our salvation comes from Christ alone. That's the good news. And you keep what you give away. And so the deceitfulness of and the worries of this world, the cares and concerns. St. Peter writes, cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I love that. Cast all your worries on the Lord because he cares for you. Christ loves you. Christ cares for you. We live in the world, but not of the world. And we are called to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then there's the final seed that falls on good soil, and that's the soil of our heart. Now, let me just conclude by letting you know that the fruit is the proof. Fruit is evidence that our life is rooted in the Holy Word of God, in Christ. See, the Word of God is like the husk. I come from Illinois. Come on, there's cornfields everywhere. The Word, and we have corn all over. The Word of God is like the husk. You open up the husk to get to the corn. You open up the Word to get to Christ is the living Word. Jesus is the living Word. It takes root in my life, and he's alive. Your faith is alive. Our faith is living. It's alive. The Word of God is alive, and that's why we need to mix Miracle Grow. The Miracle Grow is the Holy Spirit of God. When you mix the Holy, you pray to the Holy Spirit, reveal the Word to me, Lord. What do you want me to do? And miracles happen. So the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me about your faith. Let me just see it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. That's life in the Spirit. When you and I are walking our life in the Holy Spirit of God, that is the good news. And it's all about our heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of your heart. And the soil, it requires work. And that's what Erling Husvik taught me. The soil of our heart requires a bit of preparation and work. You might have to take some risk in getting the soil properly prepared to receive the Holy Word of God. Let's pray. Loving God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your holy word. John chapter 15, Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. That's our goal, Lord. We want to bear fruit to the glory of your name. We want our life, our church, to produce seeds of hope, seeds of your mercy and love, to sow those seeds in the hearts of young people, in the hearts of elderly people, in the hearts of those who are most discouraged. I pray, Lord, for the person in our congregation who is in the most need of your mercy. I pray for the person in our congregation who is hurting the most. I pray that you would touch them, heal them, make them whole. I pray, Lord, for the person from our congregation who is the farthest away, who's traveling. Bring them back safely. I pray for all of our visitors here today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take root in their life, that they would be blessed by your gift of grace and mercy, that their life would bear fruit. We thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that you would seal the good work you've begun in each one of us and bring it to completion. And I pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is in the Best of the Best. Here I Am. It's number 86 in the Best of the Best.